carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and he has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is God's word.
I wonder, have you ever owned a carved ornament? Maybe resembling an animal. Africa's famous for its carved wooden elephants, or ebony, whatever colour the wood is. Well, I have a carved wooden Canadian brown bear at home. Every detail is accurate, so accurate that it looks just lifelike, like the animal's just walking towards you. The fur on its legs and its back look like they're swaying in the wind, as if it's maybe just stepped out of the river. It's clear that someone created this wooden bear. Hang on, my connection's just been lost here, so there we go. We can't get it, that's okay. Is the computer gone to sleep, or is it okay? Okay, good. You know, this person who created this wooden bear, they had an idea what they wanted to create, and so they cut the block from a larger piece of wood, and they began to whittle away everything that wasn't the bear. Little scrapes and cuts with the knife to remove every sliver of wood until eventually they held the piece of wood that looked just like a Canadian brown bear. This cute little wooden bear was definitely the handiwork of a skilled craftsman. I'm going to continue without any PowerPoint tonight because it's not playing ball. Because it's an Apple Mac, what do you expect? But first of all, I'd like to say a big hello to those who are watching online. I know Pamela Gaia is watching and possibly her family, so it's nice to have you part of our service tonight. But you know, the word handiwork describes something or someone that is fashioned into something. And when I read this passage, the word just kind of jumped out at me, for it spoke to me of what God does with his people whom he loves, and in Christ for whom he died. And so I'd like to use this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, as my text for tonight. And I want to look at it in three sections. So first of all, his handiwork. If you can click it, that'd be great. There we go. It all works fine. If only the iPad would just link up with it as well, that would be even better. That's okay. And so as someone has created and fashioned that wooden bear, so God has made us. He created us in his image to know him, to love him, and to have relationship with him. He made us with a personality, with a skill set, with various aptitudes and characteristics. And he formed us. He took his time with us. And he continues that forming process within us until we become like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's part of what his forming process does, isn't it? To help us reflect his son. And in this passage, God's handiwork is seen in his act of grace and mercy toward us. In verse 5, we read, "It is by grace you have been saved." Paul repeats this in verse 8 and expands it further. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." That's a wonderful thing. Sorry, I'm going off piste for those who are giving the translation. That's a wonderful thing because we cannot boast in ourselves or in anything we do. We have not brought ourselves into the kingdom of God. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. And that's the wonder of being a Christian. That's the difference between Christianity and every other religious form. It's all of God. It's all of what Christ has done for us. And Paul explains what he means by the work of grace when he says in verse 6, "And God raised us up with Christ." Here we have a picture of God picking us up out of the miry clay of our sinful state and setting our feet upon the rock, which is Christ. He accepts us as we are in our sinful state, but he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't want us to wallow in that lostness and that hopelessness that we find ourselves in. Rather, he transforms us. He cuts away everything that should not be there, like pruning a plant of unwanted growth, like that craftsman, his handiwork, just cutting away those little bits of wood that weren't the bare. And then he transports us into his kingdom of light. Notice that this is in the past sense. He raised us up and seated us in the heavenly realms. You see, here we see God transporting us out of our present environment and lifting us into heaven itself, where Christ is seated and where he has ascended and where he reigns for all eternity. Because it is accomplished in Christ, it is as good as already done. That's the wonder of being in Christ. Here's a picture of what lies ahead for the people of God who are in Christ. We will be seated with him in the heavenly realms. And Paul rounds off his picture in verse 7, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I think the other translation that was read was immeasurable. We can't measure, we can't compare it. That's God's grace. And so here we see a future anticipation. The coming ages, that's what lies ahead for us as believers in Christ. This is the plan, his plan, revealed to show the breadth and the depth of the riches of his grace. Unable to adequately explain it, Paul talks about the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This is what God does for us, and this is what God does in us. One more, I think. Okay, there we go, thank you. As a mission, we've been revisiting our roots and re-examining who we are and what we do. As Paul reminded us this morning, we are here as a mission to take the message of Jesus to the people of Africa. This may sound a grand vision, but what does it mean in practical terms and how is it achieved? Well, in trying to encapsulate our work and ministry, we found the process has given us a simple yet profound triplet of phrases. And the first of these is his story. In other words, what is it that God has done for us and what is it he calls us to do? Well, another click, please, the next part of the slide. His story is the work of grace in our lives, to which we naturally respond with a desire to serve him. You see, we've been created in Christ. We've been formed in Christ. We've been made in Christ. And so as we serve him, it's fulfilled as we obey the commission to his disciples. And next click, please. To go and make disciples of all nations. And the word nations there is the peoples of our world, not just the countries. For within the country of Nigeria, there may be 400 to 500 different languages spoken, different peoples, different ethnic groups. These are the peoples whom God calls us to, not just Nigeria. One, but many. And so the nations of the world are our focus on world mission. And as we look at these nations, we realize there are still many millions of people who need to hear the story of the message of Christ's saving grace. This is his story. The second section is created in Christ. And the next click, please. All that God does is done in Christ. And this passage repeats the phrase of Christ several times. What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, I believe it means at least two things. First of all, we are one in Christ. Galatians 3:26-29 says this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know, although we may differ from one another in ethnicity, in background, in upbringing, in creativity, in intellect, whatever it happens to be, God brings together all this beautiful diversity to create a glorious unity, a rich unity. So when we gather to worship with people who are different from us, we know that God is pleased, for we are expressing our unity in Christ. While the core of our faith and worship is the same, the expression of worship may be very different. And while you saw the African choir there this morning, I'll tell you, you want to see them in full flow, as we have, has been our delight many times in Africa. The second thing that being in Christ means is that we are secure in Christ. Romans 8:38, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Paul runs out of words. Paul runs out of pictures. Neither anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. This security is a wonderful truth that has encouraged and comforted Christian believers throughout the centuries. There is nothing in all creation that has the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. That's the joy of being in Christ. Whether you're facing opposition, spiritual, demonic, whether you're facing struggles, emotional, personal, psychological, medical issues, family issues, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Samuel Bill knew that security when he set off on his own from the UK to the Kwa Ibo region of Nigeria, as we saw in the wee video this morning. He also knew it when in his early days he struggled with illness, fear, uncertainty, and misunderstanding. He always knew that he was secure in Christ. The assurance of that security kept him through some difficult and challenging life experiences. The result of all of that gives us our second phrase. Click again, please. And that is our story. Our story is simply the story of God's goodness to us as a mission and to all those who have faithfully served Christ in Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Chad, Kenya, and now Côte d'Ivoire. We seek to emulate the attitude of our founder, who was so quick to downplay his importance or skill. For when he reflected on the work the Lord had enabled him to do, he said, "I only did the ordinary things. It was God who did it all." So our story is simply a story of obedience to the call of God and desire to see the Church of Jesus Christ built and the name of Jesus honored and glorified throughout our work, witness, and ministry. The third section that we see in this verse, one more click, is to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, or just to do what is good. God has prepared good works for us to do. Titus 2 verse 14 says this, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." And the context of this verse is Paul's exhortation to young Titus in his responsibility to look after the household of God. Titus is to teach his congregation in the way they should live. The last chapter of this letter to Titus, chapter 3, is entitled "Saved in Order to Do Good." And verse 8 of chapter 3 says this, "This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good." Notice from our text that the good works God wants us to do, he has already prepared for us to do. In his providence, God has prepared good things and good works for you to do and for me to do. And for us as a mission, that can be seen in the results of our various ministries in the countries that we now serve in. We just need to discover what those plans are and fall in with his purposes in our lives. So his story, simply the heart of God to reach people with his love, and Jesus' commission to his church to go and make disciples of all nations. Our story, the story of men and women and young people who have served and continue to serve with Mission Africa. One last click, please. And now it's your story. It's simply that. How and where does God want you to serve him? We each need to find our part in God's big picture of world evangelization. Paul brought a few pieces of literature with him this morning. If you want to get our prayer monthly, it's an A4 sheet out there. I haven't folded them all, but that's how it folds. You can pray for us as a mission and our missionaries. We have the first 5, get the copies of the magazine, I'm afraid. There were supposed to be about 30 delivered to our house, and the post office has somehow lost them somewhere. So we've got 5 outside, so the first 5 get this copy of our magazine. But there are several Come See, Go Tell leaflets that Paul mentioned, which is our youth, not just youth, but our summer program, our teams going overseas. It's not just a trip overseas. It's an opportunity to be transformed by the Spirit of God as you consider what the Bible says about evangelism and your part in it and how we do that in a different culture. Come See, Go Tell. If you want one of my business cards so you can write to me and tell me what you thought of this visit and my talk and how terrible it was, then there's a card there. And this is the smallest piece of literature I've ever offered to show anybody. It says, start your story. And on the back it says, name, email, number, and what would you like to hear about? Child sponsorship, Come See, Go Tell, long-term, or prayer. If you want to fill that in and leave it there somewhere, this side up, so I see your name, that will be good. So I simply leave it there. What's your story going to be? What's God been speaking to you about over these 2 days? Because he wants you to be part of his big picture to make the name of Jesus known. Perhaps in Africa, who knows? Maybe there's another Iris lurking here. And we've had the great privilege of visiting Iris and Rufus in WWTC. Thank you for all your support for the students at WWTC. That's hugely encouraging for us. But there's maybe still some more whom God wants to send. Let me pray. Father God, we